It's great to have you all here, and we can come together and worship, read God's word together, in spite of all of the difficulties that we have within our society at this time. For those of you who have joined us just recently as Lismore Baptist Church, or you're visiting with us, we've been running for a number of years a program called Street Care that's funded and supported in partnership with Baptist Care, our community agency across New South Wales. And so Street Care involves the trailer that you may have noticed in the car park, taking that up to Clifford Park in Gunnelibar, where there's a huge amount of need, lower socioeconomic area of Lismore. And it's an opportunity for us as the trailer to got a barbecue, and we offer some refreshments and a hot barbecue to the residents up there and build relationships. And the whole idea is that we are connecting, not only meeting a sort of a physical need with people, but also an opportunity to be able to share the love of Christ with these people. And we're always aware that there is, you know, physical need is one thing, spiritual need is on a whole other level. So we're always aware of the opportunity to be able to have conversations with people, to be able to share Jesus with them. And I sort of go up there just to sort of help support the team and everything, always looking for opportunities to be able to connect. And I remember on one particular day, we usually get, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 maybe. It just varies so much from week to week. This really disheveled young man in clothes that were just very, very poorly dressed. They were torn. He looked very scruffy. Just a person you would think would sleep really rough at night. Came here to the trailer for a sausage, an opportunity. Just he seemed quite shy, and we gave him a drink and a sausage, and you start to have this conversation. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy really needs Jesus. So I'm going to look for an opportunity to be able to connect with this guy and share the gospel. This guy needs to hear the gospel. And so as we just start, you know, you start with a small talk. Where you from? Where do you live? Tell us about your family. So I'll start with a small talk, get the connection. And I thought, I need to be able to connect this guy with Jesus. And at that moment there, some of you may have had this, I've got to be able to tell him at some point. So I say, you know, we're a Christian group and we're doing this because we love Jesus, and we just want other people to love Jesus as well. And he said, yeah. He said, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And I go, okay. I spent half an hour just sort of talking and trying to work my way into a conversation. And here's a guy who loved Jesus. And we had this beautiful conversation, and we just had this opportunity to be able to share our faith in Jesus Christ with one another. Here's the point. Looks are deceiving. Looks are deceiving. So often we make assessments and judgments on certain things, and we have no idea what God is doing, where God is working, what he's doing in the lives and hearts of people. And too often in our own minds, we think we know what God is up to. And so today we're going to be looking at a short passage in Matthew chapter 13. And this is another one of Jesus' parables about the kingdom. And I've titled this, and it looks deceiving, because in many respects, this is the way that God operates. He operates on a different level than what our human minds consider. The passage is Matthew 13, and it's 31 through to 34. It's only a short passage. Jesus, as he's telling the people a number of stories, he told them another parable. This is one out of a number of parables in a row. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all its way through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And alongside your word, your spirit, which reveals, speaks, and teaches. And as you have been faithful in the past, you will be faithful in the future. And today we know that you are faithful. And as we read your word, your spirit will open our spiritual eyes, our ears, to be able to hear and see what it is that you are doing. So speak today as we listen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today is just a one-off little sermonette that we're just going to, as we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, before we go into a sermon series over the next coming weeks. And so today we're just looking at this particular passage. My Bible titles this particular passage, The Parables of the Mustard Seed and the Yeast. And it's a whole number of parables that Jesus taught at this particular time and that Matthew records about God's kingdom. I don't know whether you've thought about it. What is God's kingdom? Is it his church? Does the kingdom equal the church? Is this God's kingdom here? Well, not necessarily. But there are people here, I hope the vast majority of you, who are followers of Jesus. And the more that we discover what God's kingdom is, because it's not explained in just a very blatant way, but generally through parables, is it's the rule of Christ. Wherever Christ rules is his kingdom. If Christ rules in your heart, in your life, you carry his kingdom. As we gather together in this building, followers of Jesus, where the rule of Christ is in our lives, the kingdom of God is here. It's not a place. The kingdom of God is not a system. The kingdom of God is not a building. And this was one of the struggles when Jesus was communicating the kingdom to the disciples and the other listeners during that time, is they were equating the kingdom to something that they could understand, which was a physical presence within a region, generally governed by a king. If you've got a kingdom, you have a king, you would have an army, you would have a palace, you would have a structure in place. That was the thinking. And Jesus, through his parables, was trying to shift that thinking through from a physical presence through to something far more special. Looks are deceiving. And so it's important as followers of Jesus to grasp, to get a hold of what he's talking about when we talk about the kingdom. Why is this important? Why is it important for us to understand God's kingdom? Today, virtually more than many other days the churches are under attack. People are aware that the church has lost a lot of its influence. If you've been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years, you would have been aware of a time when the church was sort of at the cornerstone of a society. Things have shifted now. The church no longer has that influence. We hear of churches that are closing. Buildings, church buildings that are now no longer places of worship, but are people's homes or their cafes or whatever. And it's easy to think that we, as the remnant followers of Jesus, are fighting a losing battle of secularism and worldly thought that are sweeping through our society. Yet, the kingdom of God is not lost. We, if we can have a kingdom perspective, it helps us to be able to see things that so often as a society community see otherwise. And I think Jesus told this parable to help people get a perspective on this kingdom. Something new was going to be taking place there as Jesus taught those people. A new kingdom. And even 2,000 years later, here we are in Australia. We still need a fresh look. And I think Jesus communicates three things through these two little parables. The parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. He communicates progress, power, and a message. Progress, power, and a message. And we're going to look at each one of those briefly today. And the first one is this: the improbable progress of the kingdom. Let me read the first two verses of this passage again. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." The mustard seed, a common seed in Jesus' day, exceedingly small, as you would imagine. The mustard bush was a very common bush. And it was a common understanding. And Jesus, this is not the only time that Jesus has used a parable or used an illustration of the mustard seed. Many of you would know that Jesus said you only need the faith of a mustard seed. You only need this much faith. That's all that is required. And in this particular passage now, he equates the mustard seed to his kingdom. To his kingdom. Now, think about that for a moment. For the listeners, the disciples, and others who were following Jesus at that time, they've given up so much and they're on this journey with Jesus, with the oppression of the Romans and the meddling of the Jewish leaders at that time. And for them to have given up so much for the sake of a kingdom's work, and Jesus is saying this kingdom is this big. And they're going, we've given up everything for this big. This is improbable. It would have shocked the listeners. They were expecting a large imagery. Let's talk about mountains. Let's talk about castles. Let's talk about the seas. Let's talk about the majestic things. Because we want a kingdom of power. We want a kingdom of presence. We want something that's visually imposing. Imagine if we had a kingdom that was like that. It would shake the Romans, wouldn't it? But Jesus is saying, this is the kingdom. He is reorientating their thinking. The true kingdom, Jesus is saying, will reach the whole world and it will triumph. But it's not going to happen instantly. It was hundreds of years before the Roman Empire succumbed to the Christian faith. It was a slow and steady progress, eventually growing from a mustard seed into a little bush, growing into a mature bush, growing from there other seeds that would also grow into little plants, into fully fledged mustard bushes. And so it would multiply from there, from a speck of a seed in one person's hand through to growing across the whole region. Slow and steady, but profound. Now, this passage that Jesus is talking about is really coming back from a prophecy in the Old Testament, particularly in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 17, verse 23, we read, "On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches." This is a prophecy in the Old Testament. It would have been quite strange back in those days to think what that would have meant, but we can look at that now and we can easily see what it is referring to. The kingdom of God that will grow, and it will continue to grow. And that's essentially a prophecy about Jesus' plan for his church. And it's going to be a place where people nest. Or another way of saying when people nest, where people belong. We can belong in this kingdom. Every kind. They're talking about every kind of bird. Every kind. Every language. Every nation. Every people group will find their place. Now, back then in the Old Testament in particular, that would have been quite strange in Jesus' time. It would have been quite improbable to think that this little seed would reach every language, every nation. Even probably, you know, 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, that would have been quite a profound thought. But today, I believe it doesn't take much to see that the kingdom's work is doing its work. We may see it ebb and flow in the West. As I said, churches close, flounder under attack. But it also seems in other places where the church is under attack, it's flourishing and growing at a phenomenal rate across all different cultures, languages, and people groups. Eventually, the kingdom will be everywhere. But it started with a seed. With a seed. In many respects, if we talk about the kingdom being the rule of Christ, Jesus essentially is talking about himself. Where Jesus is, there's the kingdom. And yet people rejected Jesus. It's not what they expected. The Jewish people were expecting a Messiah, someone with power, someone born with influence, not just a seed. If we look in Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3, we see the prophecy about that. Referring to Jesus, Isaiah writes, "He grew up before them like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not." That prophecy come true? Absolutely. Most of the Jews and the Roman authorities missed the seed entirely. They saw Jesus merely as a nuisance, a rebel out in the countryside with a number of misfits trying to upset the kingdom. Let's get rid of him and move on. So if we get rid of Jesus, let's kill him. Remember, I talked last week about the seed. The seed's purpose is to what? To die. That's what a seed's purpose is. We are seeds. We are to die. Jesus referred to as a seed. His plan is to die. But what happens when a seed dies? What happens when a seed is buried? It's achieved its purpose in growing and multiplying, producing fruit. The seed was planted. The kingdom began. Here's the point in this first section. Christ's kingdom as plan is easily missed, overlooked, and disdained. What does that mean for us today? Sure, we can look back on that and they go, boy, they really missed it back then, didn't they? They missed Jesus, who he was. What does it mean for us today? Think about our situation. We see ourselves largely as Lismore Baptist Church. We are this big, although we're not all in the one place at the one time, but you can think about that. This is who we are. This is how big we are. We have a certain amount of resources. So if we are this big and we've got this many resources, how much can we do? We can do this much. Why? Because we're looking at it with our own eyes. Do you get caught sometimes thinking like that? This is who I am. I'm not really important. I'm only, you know, Joe Blow that lives in Lismore. I can't make that much of a difference. I've only got this much money. I've only got these many resources. I'm not really a good prayer. And my faith, mate, my faith is so small. It's probably about the size of a mustard seed. You can't do much with a mustard seed, can you? That was a joke. You can. Yet, more importantly, instead of thinking this is who we are, we reframe it and say, I am a child in God's kingdom. Now, let's try to define the boundaries of God's kingdom. Any thoughts? Because I've got nothing. I've got no idea how extensive God's kingdom is. But I know it's bigger than these four walls. Let me say that. And I know it's more extensive. As much as I love all of you people, it's more than just you people. Yeah, I know. You're part of it as well. It's more than just what we've got in the bank. It's more than the collection of our skills and our gifts and our abilities. We're part of. How big's God? We can talk about this for the along, and we still won't get there. But the point is, it's a fresh perspective, isn't it? Far bigger than what we can see with our own eyes. And so often we overlook the growth of the kingdom. It doesn't always look like it should. Paul, writing into the letter to the Corinthians, writes this. He says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Now, there's probably a sermon or two just in that passage itself, but let's just give a glimpse of all of that. Is that so often, I think what Paul is talking about here is we look through the wrong lens. And God has this unique way of just using things that just don't look like they should. Like a disheveled, dirty, smelly, can I say that, man up at street care. And God really challenged me that day. God does, can I use the word, the foolish things. God took a cross and planted a kingdom. God took a handful of broken people and the kingdom began. God takes your stammering voice. You know, you're the one who sort of says, nah, I can't talk because I always get lost for words. I don't have the right words. I'm not really eloquent. Well, God takes those. Do you want me to show you some examples in the Bible for another day? God takes your faltering prayers. Some of you sort of go, look, I don't know how to pray. I don't have good words. Other people are better prayers. And God's not interested in that comes out of your mouth. He's interested in here. That's all we need. And God takes our fragile service. There's times when we get discouraged. There's times we just feel like giving up. There's just times we just don't think we've got the skills necessary. It doesn't matter. One of the most beautiful things about the Word of God is the Word of God is about stories of broken, imperfect, discouraged, failing people. And God used them to build his kingdom. Don't ever say, I haven't got what it takes. And so often we can't see success. And so often we say, look, I can only do this much. And this much can do what? And yet the seed keeps growing, improbable growth. Second point, the invisible power of the kingdom. When we see this in Matthew 13, verse 33, Jesus is using yeast here as an example. Now, this trips up some people because so often in other times, yeast has been used as a symbol of sin where it infiltrates and affects and everything like this. But this time, he's using yeast in the positive. Yeast is glorious. It is powerful, and yet it's invisible. Let me read verse 33 again. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. Now, it's interesting here in a parable that Jesus actually used a measurement. In our metric system, that's about 27 kilograms. How would you like to be, you know, kneading 27 kilograms of flour into dough? You could hardly lift it. But here's Jesus showing this invisible quality, this invisible thing that we don't really see that infects the whole batch of dough. Yeast is mysterious. Yeast is invisible within the dough, and yet yeast is potent. There's an image of the kingdom. And too often we listen to the voice of the society. The church is weak. We've been confronted through this COVID season where the church is seen as a non-essential activity. And so there's certain restrictions placed because of that. And then we go, oh, really? Maybe we are. And yet once again, if we reframe it and said, no, we're part of a kingdom. It's invisible. We can't necessarily see it. We can see its outworking. And the outworking of the kingdom within society can make an amazing difference. Quietly, the yeast is doing its work. It's often been said, and yet never been tried, what would happen if the church was removed from society? If all of a sudden, let's just imagine the rapture, gone, all the Christians are gone, the kingdom of God is gone, what difference would that make to society? There'd be some people go, oh, we can get on and do the real work instead of getting upset by the Christians. We have no idea. We have no idea. It'd just be like making a batch of dough and forgetting to put the yeast in it. Blah. But be assured by faith of what Jesus is saying here. You're part of a kingdom. You may not always see the outworking. You may not be recognized, which is not the point anyway. You may not always see what God is doing. But be assured, the yeast is doing its work within our society. We look at places like China and the Middle East, and we just sort of think it's just a godless place. And yet we hear stories, and through great organizations like Open Doors and some of the others that are getting back the reports of the underground church in some of these places that are doing profound things. And I think it's only going to be a matter of time, particularly in places like China, where it's going to start to burst from the surface. And we could see a country like China becoming, if it's not already, the most Christian country on earth. China. Yeast is potent, invisible, yet powerful. What does that mean for us? Let's not get discouraged. There will be times when we don't feel like anything's changing, anything's happening. Society looks down on us as if we're not really that important. But once again, it's not necessarily about the church, but his kingdom. And the kingdom will never be defeated. Remember the words of Jesus. And then after this, so Jesus talked about a mustard seed, he's talked about yeast. And at this point, Matthew, who's writing this gospel, makes a comment of his own. We can see here from verse 34. And he says here that Jesus was telling many parables. And the interesting thing about parables is that for some people, it confused them entirely. What's Jesus is talking in riddles? I don't get it. But then as people's lives become orientated to him, the new work of the kingdom became evident, story by story, giving a glimpse of this growing and powerful force. This is what Matthew writes in verse 34 and 35. Jesus spoke all of these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables and I'll utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Parables are revealing this new work, this new kingdom, these hidden mysteries that are still being unveiled 2,000 years later. We still wrestle with it. We don't quite comprehend it. We can only accept it by faith. And as we seek to have our hearts and lives aligned with Christ, parables will take on a whole new significance and meaning. The truth of the growth and power are the words of eternal life. And we need these words. So what it is that these parables bring a message of hope, bring a message of truth, and bring a message of encouragement for us here in 2020, wondering what we've got to offer, the future of the church, what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do for the rest of our life. This gives us a far bigger picture in saying we're part and we're walking with so many billions of others probably as part of God's kingdom, his family, we, his children, in this together. Now that's got to bring you some encouragement, doesn't it? But so often we wonder if God can use us. So often we wonder if the church can survive. So often we get discouraged. So often we get frustrated. There are times, I believe, we all feel like giving up. But if we catch a glimpse of this seed that is growing into new bushes and trees and plants, that's producing fruits, that's producing other seeds, that also producing seeds and fruit, and it's going on and on and on and on, not overnight, slowly but surely, throughout the whole world, to the ends of the earth, every language, every nation, every people group. And it's this invisible thing that has got far more power than we could ever comprehend. You and I are a part of that. We are part of this kingdom. How good is that? And one of the beautiful things about being a part of this kingdom is we can confidently go to the throne room, to God, the creator, the king of the kingdom, and we can talk with him. So let's do that right now. Let's say, Heavenly Father, the king of the kingdom, we honor you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you that through your Son, Jesus, through the death of that seed, that our sins can be reconciled, that we can be forgiven, and through that we are now a member, a child of your family, your kingdom. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to have eyes, kingdom's eyes, that would see what you are doing round about us and how we fit into that kingdom. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, when we've doubted, when we've become discouraged, when we've been blinded to the work of your kingdom. Heavenly Father, as we go forward from here as a church, as your people, as we go out into the workplace, into families, that you would strengthen us, knowing that through your Spirit, that your kingdom has a power that we cannot comprehend, and that you will continue to grow your kingdom. And even though we are far from perfect, even though, as we look at ourselves, we think we've got nothing to offer, that you are using it, even us right now, in our conversations, in our prayer, to continue to grow your kingdom. Strengthen us, encourage us, as we seek to live as your children in the place that you have for us within your glorious kingdom. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.